أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليه انقضاء، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى، وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا، لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: وجعلنا منهم أئمة يهدون بأمرنا لما صبروا وكانوا بآياتنا يوقنون. وقال أيضا: وكذلك نري إبراهيم ملكوت السماوات والأرض وليكون من الموقنين. وقال أيضا: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. الحمد لله for we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us this blessing to believe in the concept of imamat and leadership, which is a concept deep-rooted into the instinct and fitrat and nature of humankind. I would like to thank all of you brothers and sisters in the beginning for arranging and doing your efforts to make this series of lectures successful and available. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you and increase in His tawfiq for you. We already have discussed the concept of tawheed, oneness of God. And also the sifat and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the concept of nubuwwat, the prophethood in Islam. And now we are starting the lectures on the concept of imamat and walayat, the divine leadership in Islam. Our discussion shall comprise of the following topics. I would like to mention these topics in the beginning. First of all, we are going to mention the ta'rif and definition of imamat. Literally, the little definition of the word imamat in Arabic, and the istilahi or technical definition, the istilah of ilm al-kalam, that means the definition of the knowledge of Islamic beliefs. And after the definition, we will move forward to the second point of our discussion. Why do we need an imam? We have five evidences and burhan to furnish for the sake of answering to that question, why does the humanity need an imam? The third point of discussion is the sifat of an imam. What are those attributes which are compulsory, which are must, the attributes that must be available in every imam who is supposed to lead? And the fourth point of our discussion will focus on who appoints the imam and who has the right to appoint an imam. The fifth point of discussion will be about the concept of imamat in the light of Holy Quran. We will discuss some of the most important verses, three verses of Holy Quran related to this subject. And the sixth point of discussion will be about hadith, the tradition of the Holy Prophet, about the concept of imamat. That means imamat in the light of the hadith and tradition of the Holy Prophet, in which we shall discuss, inshallah, some of the most important hadith and traditions of our beloved Prophet regarding imamat. And the sixth point of discussion will be the difference between the Ithna Ashari Shia belief system and rest of the sects in Islam, rest of the sects in Muslims. What is the difference? What differentiates the Ithna Ashari Shia community from the rest of the Muslims about the concept of imamat? And the eighth point of our discussion will focus on the 12th Imam, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And the ninth point of discussion shall be about the imamat. Under the concept of imamat, we will discuss the Walayatul Faqih and Tamheed of the Zuhur and appearance of the 12th Imam. The concept of the leadership of the Adil and just jurisprudent, and how the human beings are obliged to prepare for the divine just government of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Coming back to the point number one, which is the ta'rif and definition of imamat. Literally, the word imam, if you open up the dictionary, it means imam is a leader. Regardless of what kind of leader he may be a leader of haq, he may be a leader of batil, he may be a leader of truth, a leader of falsehood, he may be a leader of iman, he may be a leader of kufr, he may be a good leader, he may be a bad leader. A leader in its absolute, in its general sense, regardless of what kind of a leader may be. So leaders of kufr are also called imam in the Arabic language, like the leaders of iman and faith are termed as imam. The fasiq, transgressor, zalim and oppressor, leaders of any community are also termed as imam, because the word imam means a leader. Regardless of being a good or bad, belonging to haq or batil, being a mu'min or a kafir, regardless of all those restrictions or conditions, a leader in its general sense. That's the literal meaning of the word imam. Unfortunately, in some of the Muslim communities, specifically in the South Asia and subcontinent, this word had been in some of the cultures used in the sense that people think that the word imam means a ma'soom imam only, which is a very common misconception in those communities, because in Arabic the word imam, and that's where it belongs, I mean it's derived from the Arabic language, it does not belong to South Asia, does not belong to India, for example, or Pakistan or Bangladesh or any of those countries. It's a word of the Arabic language, and in Arabic it means a leader, regardless of whether he is leader of haq or batil or kufr. Every leader is called imam. And that's where the confusion arises, where, when we in Arabic call our great scholars who are leading the Islamic Ummah and communities, we call them imam, people start objecting why the word imam has been implied to a person who is a non-ma'soom. And the reason behind this question and complaint is because of the ignorance regarding the root word and the root meaning of the word imamat and imam in the Arabic language, which means just a leader, regardless of being a ma'soom or a mu'min or a kafir or haq or batil. Doesn't matter. And coming to the ilm al-kalam, the knowledge of Islamic beliefs, we find that imamat has been defined by the mutakallimeen, our great scholars of ilm al-kalam, scholars of the beliefs of Islam. Imamat has been defined as riyasatun amma fi umur al-din wa dunya niyabatan an al-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Imamat is a general rule, general governance in all the affairs of religion and all the affairs of this world, in proxy of the Prophet, may peace be upon him and his progeny. I repeat, imamat is a general governance and rule in all the affairs of religion and all the affairs of this world, in in the proxy and niyabat of the Prophet. This is a very beautiful definition found in historically in all the books of our beliefs, and it's such a comprehensive definition which basically the books of beliefs do not need to be altered or changed or amended from time to time, because there isn't anything that needs to be amended, because all those contents written in the books of beliefs by the earliest of our scholars are based on the same intellectual and narrated evidences, which none of those can ever be altered or changed or may require amendments. So that's why those books which are centuries old are equally valid, like those which are edited or which are compiled recently or written recently. The same was the definition that you are going to find in all the books of our belief system. In the light of this definition, we understand very clearly that the Imam or the Wali, the person who has walayat or governance and imamat and leadership role in the ummah, has the right of general governance, all-inclusive governance in every affair of the religion and every affair of this life of this world. And it's such a great responsibility which he performs in the absence of the Prophet as a proxy, as a na'ib in the niyabat of the Prophet. And that was the constant situation throughout the history. Every messenger of Allah used to have wasi, you know, a na'ib, a wasi, a khalifa. And this discussion of imamat it's important to realize that it's not at all contradictory to the concept of ittihad bayn al-muslimin, unity among the ranks of the Muslims. Actually, the discussion of imamat is strengthening the concept of ittihad and unity among the Muslims. No one should perceive it to be contradictory to the concept of unity with the Muslims, among the Muslims, because what is contradictory to the unity is lajajat, stubbornness, ta'assub, prejudice, and takfir, calling each other to be a kafir, and ihanat, insulting other sects of Islam, whereas having a healthy debate and discussion within a healthy environment based on logic and intellectual and narrated evidences from the Prophet and the Holy Quran actually strengthens the foundations of Islam and provides a room for realizing the truth, and it's an obligation, it's a fariza on every Muslim to perform in a healthy, logical, respectable way, respectful way. And that's how we can actually strengthen the bonds among ourselves by realizing the differences and relying on the evidences to bridge the gap and bring everyone else on the same boat. That's what our Holy Prophet was striving to perform throughout his life, to bring the entire humankind and the entire, specifically the Muslim community, on the same boat. When he was saying, إِنَّ مَثَلَ أَهْلَ بَيْتِ كَمَثَلِ سَفِينَةِ نُوحٍ مَنْ رَكِبَهَا نَجَى وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهَا غَرِقَ. In the example of my Ahlul Bayt is that of the boat of Prophet Nuh. Whosoever got aboard that ship, that boat, Naja, God succeeded. Got the salvation. وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهَا. Whosoever did not accept and turned away and rejected, غَرِقَ. He got drowned. So it was the wish of the Holy Prophet. It was the constant effort of the Holy Prophet to bring everybody on the boat of success, which is Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. Talking in a healthy environment with evidence and logic is actually strengthening the bonds among ourselves and has to be welcomed, has to be appreciated, has to be done as a duty, and should be actually promoted. And we as Muslims are obliged to avoid any kind of prejudices, any kind of insults, any kind of stubborn behaviors which are based on illogical stances, and stop issuing baseless kufr fatwas against other sects of Islam, which actually serves nothing but the foreign enemies, whose prime job is to divide and rule. Imamat is something which is purely divine, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has constantly informing us in different verses of Holy Quran about Imamat, and he has said in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 119, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah, piety of Allah, and be along with the sadiqeen, along with those who are really truthful and sadiq. This ayat of Holy Quran is not at all specific to any time. It's equally valid in all times. It's commanding us to have taqwa and to get along with the sadiqeen, those who are the truthful ones. It's unconditional, it's absolute in its application and nature, and this ayat is an evidence that in every time there has to be a ma'soom, imam, and leader for the religion and this world available for the whole humanity, because the human beings are ja'izul khata, they can perform sins at any time, there is no guarantee, and it's compulsory on the human beings to follow somebody who is above the sins and who is infallible and ma'soom. And that's what the word sadiqeen is referring to, the ma'soomeen, the ma'soom imams. And obeying them is the only way which can keep us away from the sins and move towards the purpose of our creation, keep us on the track of guidance, and keep us on the track of ibadat and worship and ubudiyat and obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imamat is not only in the affairs of government over the world, hukumat al-zahiri, al-hukuma al-tashri'iyya, al-walayat al-tashri'iyya, that means rule and governance on the political rule over the world, which is very much obvious. And secondary, as compared to al-hukuma al-ma'nawiyya, al-walayat al-takwiniyya, as compared to the metaphysical, spiritual, ma'nawi rule and governance which the imam enjoys over the entire universe. Because of the fact an imam in Islam, an imam enjoys the al-walayat al-takwiniyya, the spiritual, ma'nawi, ruhani governance and rule over the entire universe. That is exactly why he also enjoys al-walayat al-tashri'iyya, the political government over the world, which is a secondary position. What I mean from this statement is that the al-walayat al-tashri'iyya, the secondary, the government over the world, is something which is relying on the spiritual rule and governance and the ma'navi rule which Imam has over the whole universe. And since this world is just part of the whole universe, anybody who has the ma'navi and ruhani walayat and rule and governance over the entire universe, his soul is encompassing and engulfing the whole universe. When the soul of the ma'soom Imam is muhit and engulfing and encompassing the entire universe, just talking about rule over this small planet Earth, the political government being established, his rule being accepted on the planet Earth, is a very, very small aspect of the huge walayat and imamat and governance concept which the Imam already enjoys over the entire universe for the sake of the Tahara.